It is the 20th of November. We have 8 games. We have some returns, some pretty big returns, some injury news, season-ending surgery news that we, maybe we saw it coming, maybe we didn't. This is the Wednesday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Got something loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am Adam King. Find me on Twitter. Find me on Blue Sky at AdamKing91. We're not on Blue Sky, but we're on Twitter at FBI Basketball. I'll talk to B-Dub about that, actually, and get him to set up an FBI Basketball account. We're also on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, everywhere. All right, 8 games tonight. And as I said, some injury news, both good and bad. There are some questions already, which we will get to. What have we got? A Cavs game, Orlando question, Portland question. Okay, cool. All right, we'll get to those. Let us jump in to the first game. And it is the Pelicans and the Cavaliers, and not a close one. The Cavs win it by 28, and that's actually flattering for the Pelicans, to be honest. This was pretty bad from the start. Elfrid Payton signed yesterday, I believe, started at point guard. So there you go. That sort of tells you everything you need to know about where the Pelicans are at the moment. So they were without all of the guys they've been without, as well as Brandon Ingram. So their starting lineup, Jeremiah Robinson, Earl, Javonte Green, Yves Missy, Brandon Boston, and Elfrid Payton. In terms of production, not a lot to talk about there. I mean, look, if Payton's going to play and start, which he could for a little bit anyway. I know they're getting guys back soon, but he is worth a look. He only played 22 minutes, but he did have 11 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. And we know what he can do. He hasn't played for a couple of years, but we know that he is a good rebounder. He gets assists. He doesn't score a lot, but he has had triple-doubles in his career. So someone to consider, amazingly. Brandon Boston has cooled off a bit, but I think he's still probably a must roster. 14-5 here with a steal. Misi, it's very borderline. 12-8 in 19 minutes. Look, against Cleveland, this isn't surprising. They tend to run other bigs off the court. So if you're holding him and you want to give him another game, by all means, go ahead. But off the bench, Antonio Reeves had 34 points, really the only bright spot here for the Pelicans. I'm pretty sure I've got him in a dynasty. I don't know. I've got him somewhere in either a deep keeper league or a dynasty league. So unexpected production from him. I wouldn't expect this again. If for some reason you streamed him in tonight, well done. But it's, yeah, I don't think this is sustainable at all. For the Cavs, no Darius Garland here, no Caris LeVert, no Isaac Okoro. So, I mean, I wouldn't say they're running a B-grade side here. They've still got Jarrett Allen, Evan Mobley, Donovan Mitchell, but Ty Jerome moved into the starting lineup, as did Jalen Tyson. Jerome, who's been really good this year, was very good tonight, 29 points. Didn't give us the other stuff that he's been giving us, but the points, very good. He went on a little run in the second quarter, I believe it was. He scored the bulk of his points during that quarter and then just didn't really have to play down the stretch. So this could have been a lot better if it had been moderately close and he played 30 minutes. He could have had 40. But is he worth an add? I have had a couple of people message me already. Are we adding Ty Jerome? Look, it's pretty close. I've considered him in some leagues. I haven't actually added him. I'm looking in one of my leagues at the moment because I have D'Anthony Melton, who we will get to when we talk about the Warriors game. But I have Melton, so I'm going to be dropping him, and then I'm looking to pick up Maybe Ty Jerome, maybe Anthony Black. They're probably the top of my list. It is a 14-team league, though, I believe. So, look, he's pretty borderline. And a good performance by George Niang. These guys, but we're not interested in any of these players. Not Mobley's best night, only 18 minutes, but nothing to concern ourselves with there, given this one was over at halftime. The Bulls and the Bucks in the second game. The Bucks get the win, 122-106. For the Bulls, they were without Patrick Williams. So Torrey Craig, they dusted him off, moved him into the starting lineup. And he was okay, 15 points, 6 rebounds, a steal, a block. If we could guarantee 28 minutes plus a night, Torrey Craig would be a consideration, but this is like his best performance by far. So I'm not really buying into this at the moment. Nikola Vucevic cooled off a bit, but I mean, 14, 6 and 6 with 3 steals and a block, you're going to take that to the bank. Zach LaVine, very nice offensive game again. Kobe White, not his best night, 14 points, but he will be fine. Josh Giddey, now there was a Giddey question I saw somewhere. I'm sure I saw a Giddey. Did I see a Giddey question? Oh, maybe I didn't. I'm sure I saw a Giddey. Oh, here we go. Lone Dez. Is Giddey a drop in 12 team? I don't think so. He certainly hasn't been as good as we had hoped, and I think the Bulls have potentially figured that out to some degree. This was a particularly bad game, 5 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. The defense isn't there. He's not efficient. We were sort of hoping his efficiency would come up and he might start to get some defensive stuff, and that just hasn't happened this year. So I don't think he's a drop, but yeah, let me have a look at his rank. He is someone I avoided in drafts, so turns out I was pretty lucky. Okay, I can't even find him when I search top players because he's not a top player. Okay, here we go. All right, Josh Giddey, 205th ranked player, 12, 6, and 6. Look, I think the reason he's not a drop, he's shooting 40% from the field, 67 from the line, roughly, 0.7 steals. But he is getting 12, 6, and 6. And you're not going to find that on the waivers. I think that's why I'd be holding him, just because he does give you fairly solid production in rebounds and assists. And I think the points can only go up. I think his percentages, this is probably as bad as it gets. So we're probably at his floor. So I would be trying to hold if possible. Ayo Dosunmu, I was hoping with no Patrick Williams, he might do a bit more. He did not. He played 32 minutes, 8 points, 3 assists, a steal. Probably a drop, I think, for the Bucks. Giannis, very good. We know Giannis is very good. Taurean Prince, not good, and we know he is not good. Lopez, look, his offense is sort of rolling nicely. If you want to try and sell high, then by all means go ahead. I don't know if anyone's buying this, but 21 points, 5 rebounds, 3 steals and a block. Lillard, 20 and 10, fine. Not awesome, but fine. And then Gary Trent, look, he's coming off the bench. He has looked better since he moved to the bench, but I'm still nowhere near adding him. And AJ Green, if you can catch him on a night like this where he hits 5 triples, then he's a streamer. But yeah, I would say 70% of the time he is not. Pacers and the Rockets. Rockets get the comfortable win here, 130-113, high scoring. No surprise. Miles Turner returned, had 10-9 with 5 blocks in his 29 minutes. Benedict Mathurin, these were my concerns at the start of the year, that when his shot isn't dropping, what do we get? And the answer in this game at least was nothing. 8 points with a block. Obviously we're holding, but this is the old Mathurin, so hopefully he can shake this off and be better in their next game. Siakam started really well and slowed a lot in the second half. 21-4 with 2 steals is still fine. Quentin Jackson started. They're just basically throwing poo at the wall at the moment and seeing what sticks. And tonight, Quentin Jackson did. 24 points, two steals, a block. This guy's a three-year veteran, I suppose. He's not a rookie. So this is the outlier of all outliers, I would say. 10 of 12 shooting, right place at the right time. If, by all means, if you want to go and take a flyer on him and see if he can turn this into a week of production, go ahead. But I'm not at this point. Tyrese Halliburton, I popped something up on Twitter, I don't know, an hour ago or something. Just, I don't know, do we need to start talking about him? Because this is becoming a pattern. I have no idea what his rank is. All right, so he's 59th for the season now. I believe he was sort of top 50 before today or borderline, so he has dropped back a little bit. Look, I wouldn't be trading him because this is probably as bad as it gets. So that is probably the big takeaway here. Don't try and trade him because you're going to get pennies on the dollar. So he's averaging 15.3 points, 8.5 assists, 1.3 steals. So the assists are okay. I mean, 8.5 is still very good. It's just not at the level we expected from him. 1.3 steals, down slightly. A lot of it just comes down to his shooting. He's shooting 37% from the field, 28 or something from three, averaging 15 points. It's all to do with shooting here, whether that is, I think someone mentioned it could be a back injury. I mean, he looks healthy and there's been no indication that he's not, but that doesn't mean that he is 100%. It's a little bit worrying. So I'm not doing anything with it because you really can't, as I said, at this point. But it is very frustrating. TJ McConnell, I said to watch his minutes because he was up at about 26 in the last game. Only played 19 here, but still a really nice night. 17 and 4 with two steals. So when I said I'm contemplating Anthony Black, Ty Jerome, TJ McConnell is the other guy that I'm considering because he, of the three of those guys, he doesn't need a lot of minutes to have value. So I think he's in that discussion with Anthony Black and Ty Jerome at the moment. For Houston, another good Jabari Smith game. Well, good in terms of offense, 23 points, 8 rebounds, no steals, no blocks. Look, this is better. So if he was dropped, by all means, go and add him. Let's see if this can sustain. Şengün, very good here, 31 and 12. Fred VanVleet, 18 and 6 with four steals. So he is rounding into form very nicely. Dylan Brooks is not, and I wouldn't expect him to. Tari Eason was strong again off the bench, 11 points, 9 rebounds, 6 steals. He's had a lot of steals lately. I haven't got the numbers here, but I feel like he's been really good in that category. Amen Thompson, very poor, 6 and 1. With a block in 17 minutes, but he picked up three early fouls. And then as coaches tend to do, they just don't play guys. And he ends up with four fouls and limited. So one of my pet peeves when coaches don't let guys play through fouls. Jock Landale saw some extra run here, which is just good as an Aussie to see him out there. On to the fourth game of the night, I think, Portland and OKC. Portland made this competitive, which was good because you come up against Portland, you somewhat expect whoever they're playing to blow them out, and then we have weird minutes. But this one was close. Thunder do get the win in the end, 109 to 99. We'll start with Portland, and then we'll get to the Thunder side of things, which some exciting news there and some bad news as well. For Portland, Donovan Clingan started, DeAndre Ayton out again. Clingan was good, 10 and 9 with two steals, two blocks, has to be rostered until Ayton is back. Rob Williams off the bench, not as productive as he has been, but 24 minutes, very encouraging. He needs to be rostered as well. I thought Kamara was good here in this one. No steals, but had 14 and 9 with a block. Should be rostered, I think. He's fairly consistent. Sometimes it's defense, sometimes offense, but I think he's doing enough. Shaden Sharp had 21 and 6. No, would have liked to steal there, but take the 21 points. Scoot, oh, I feel like he got injured. Scoot, yes, quad contusion. So whether he got a corky, I don't know. I didn't see it. He had 9 and 8. He's really just an assists streamer at the moment. Delano Banton, who was added in a lot of leagues, he had 10, 4 and 2 with 3 blocks. We saw him do this down the stretch last year. So if you want to just pick him up and see if this can turn into more than one or two games, then, yeah, by all means, get him in there. Denny Avdil was better, but I still don't think he's a guy we need to prioritise. For OKC, Isaiah Hartenstein returned earlier than we expected, I think. So this was good. He didn't look hampered at all. He didn't look cautious. He was diving after the ball. He was going hitting the glass. So all systems go, it would appear, for Hartenstein. He did come off the bench, but 29 minutes, 13 and 14 with 4 blocks, 3 assists. I've said he does have some playmaking upside. I think as good as you could expect. Is he going to start in the next game? Maybe. I think the Thunder actually may, because initially their plan was probably for him to come off the bench with Chet starting. There might be some thinking in the locker room there that they continue to bring him off the bench in certain games. I think some games they're going to have him out there just to have some size. But if they were up against, like, I don't know, the Warriors, for example, they may bring Hartenstein off the bench and he'll close. Either way, if he starts or comes off the bench, I think we're going to see him playing 30-plus minutes and could be a top 50 player. So add him. If he's available, I think I just saw. So Lone Des, Hartenstein is on waivers, thinking of dropping Giddy for him. Yes, I would do that. I know I said Giddy is a hold. If Giddy's your worst player, well, you must have a pretty good team. If Giddy's your worst player and Hartenstein is there, I would quite comfortably take Hartenstein over Giddy at this point. Now, let me just see. I'm just seeing if we've got any questions relating to. Cow Chad says, yeah, Eason is second in the league in steals without starting out. He is behind our friend Dyson Daniels, who I think had 0 again tonight, 2 games in a row. But yes, Eason has been very good in steals. No other teams. We could do this question. This is sort of relevant. How would you rank the following waiver wire options for the medium term? Delano Banton, Tamani Kamara, and Brandon Boston. Depends what medium term is. If you're sort of thinking a month, maybe. It's probably Kamara, then Banton, then Boston, because I do think that the Pelicans are going to start getting their guys back in the next week. So that I think Boston will go from starting to not doing much fairly quickly once that happens. Banton is sort of hit or miss, that he'll go through these patches. I just think Kamara has the safest floor because he's starting and playing 35 minutes a night. All right, back to the OKC game, or OKC box score. Jalen Williams, 30 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Sell high if you can get a first rounder. I think that's probably where I would have him. He is the 7th ranked player at the moment. Hartenstein coming back in is going to impact him a little bit, potentially on the defensive end, just with the blocks. He's had some good block numbers over the last week or two. But I still think he's going to be really good with no Chet there. So, yeah, if you can get a top 15 player for Jalen Williams, maybe I'd consider it. But I really don't think anyone's giving you a top 15 player for him. So you are probably just going to hold and enjoy. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he finishes as a first rounder this season. But, that's best case. Shea, very good. Kaysen Wallace, steel streamer. He had 3 of them. Lou Dort, this is the Lou Dort we know. 0 of 7 from the floor, 2 points, 1 block. I'm still holding him. He's still playing good minutes, but they, I think at any given the opportunity, they will try and scale him back slightly. But yeah, let's see what happens if Hartenstein impacts him at all. The bad news here, Alex Caruso, who was actually having a really nice game. He had 17 points, two steals in his 15 minutes. He aggravated, I thought it was a groin. It looked like a groin initially. Supposedly he aggravated that hip injury, which I think he'd missed two or three games prior to this one. So I would expect he misses time here, which is a shame. But if you've got him, I guess maybe hold him and just see that whether they come out with a timeline on this. But he knew it straight away. He did a reverse layup, got to the basket, scored, and straight away reached for it and signaled to the bench. It was the end of the third quarter, I believe. So yeah, didn't. When a player does that, they know something happened. So I don't know. Watch this space for the updates on Caruso. Philly and Memphis. Philly lose again, 117 to 111, despite being fully healthy. Well, fully healthy. For Philly, they were fully healthy. Paul George played. Joel Embiid played. Tyrese Maxey played. Let's start with Maxey. So he returned, which is good. 8 points. Two assists, a steal, 20 minutes, 3 of 13, not good. I actually left him in my IR spot in, as I've said, I often do that because that first game back is never great and this was not great. He'll get much better than this, especially if, as we would expect, Paul George misses time. So he aggravated his knee injury that kept him out for, I want to say, two or three weeks. I think he was out and he's been monitored, missing back-to-backs. He's aggravated that. Didn't look too bad. He was able to walk off the court, but I would certainly expect a missed game or two. They did say that he was potentially going to come back in, but that doesn't mean much. Embiid, look, numbers are really good, 35 and 11 with a steal and block, but man, he looks slow out there. I think if they come up against teams that have good mobile centers, it's going to be interesting to see how they play him. Because he doesn't look fluid up and down the court. As expected, with these guys back, Kelly Oubre is no longer someone we need to roster. Jared McCain, we do, 20 points. He continues to score the ball really well. And Yabusele had 17 points with not a lot else, but he has looked pretty good. And I think if Paul George misses time here, Yabusele could get a bump. On to Memphis, Jalen Wells. Yeah, I've got him in the league. He had 14 points, so that'll do. He's not doing much else. Brandon Clark started 6-6. We don't need to be rostering him. Scottie Pippen limited again to 25 to 26 minutes. So I think he is a hold at the moment, but could trend down once they get Ja Morant back, as well as some of these other guys. Aldama was still pretty good, 12-6-6. We just hold him. Luke Kennard, three-point streamer. Jake LaRavia, streamer. A lot of stream guys here until they get healthy. Jay Huff, minutes still a bit underwhelming. We thought he was going to play a little bit more with Zach Edey out, and that hasn't happened yet. He had 8 points, two assists, a block, 14 minutes. That's not enough to be holding him in 12s. Atlanta and Golden State, another ugly one. Hawks, frustrating being a Hawks fan, 120 to 97. And again, that probably flatters them a little bit. The Hawks were bad. Jalen Johnson was okay. The numbers aren't terrible here. Jalen Johnson, 15 and 14 with two steals. Clint Capella had 11 and 9 with two blocks. Dyson Daniels, 11, 7, and 3. No defensive stats in this one, but don't panic. Trae Young, 12 and 11 with two steals. He's very passive on offense at the moment. The last couple of games, he's just not shooting the ball well, but he's not even looking for his shots a lot of times. This actually ended up a better line than I thought he was going to get. I think he was 1 of 6 in the first half. He's just sort of looking for other guys, which I get it. You want to involve everyone, but when he should be their leading scorer. And he's not looking like it at the moment. Bogdanovic played 23 minutes off the bench, had 6 points, seven rebounds. We're rostering him. He'll get better. Okongwu, we're rostering, but it's, yeah, it's the minute split that we were hoping wouldn't come, and it has, which really puts a cap on his upside. For the Warriors, pretty comfortable win. As I said, they didn't need to push anyone. Steph Curry, only 30 minutes here. He had 23 and 8 with two steals. Lindy Waters started, had 10 and 3. I'm not really interested in him. Trace Jackson-Davis, one of his better games, 14 and 11 with a block in 22 minutes. If he was playing 22 minutes a night, I'd probably add him or probably hold him. But his minutes are sort of ranging anywhere from 15 up to 22, 23. So he's fine if you can take the good, the bad with the good. Wiggins, good in this one. Draymond Green doing his thing. Buddy Hield, 11 points. And when he's not scoring a lot, he has no value because he had two rebounds and nothing else. We hold. Again, a blowout. He probably would have played a bit more here. Jonathan Kuminga, I think we can just drop him, can't we? 10 points, 5 rebounds, 2 steals and a block. Probably sort of give him maybe another game, but they're just not using him. They don't need him. I came into the season thinking he was going to start and play 25, 28 minutes. They'd need him to score, but Wiggins has been better. And they've had production from Buddy Hield and just their bench. Melton. Oh, let's talk about Melton. I didn't even think about him. Melton is done for the year. So he was out, last week? I think he went down with what they reported as an ACL sprain or strain. I can't remember. Obviously, that was, I would say, a partial tear of the ACL. And they went and see, and I only know this because of what happened with my ACL. It was partially torn. And so they probably went and sought advice from professionals and things like that. A partial tear, you can play through and you can sort of just wait a month and then come back. But the risk is that you then, it's weak, obviously, and the risk is that you then tear it completely and you're having your surgery in 2 months' time rather than now, which means you're not available for next year. I have no idea if that is what happened, but that was the discussion I had with my surgeon, and I'm not even a professional player or anything like that, but I just wanted to get the surgery done so I could get back to normal as soon as possible. So that may have been the situation here. And look, I mean, it doesn't change too much, to be honest, because they really haven't had him for a lot of the season. So Pajemski probably sort of comes back into that discussion as someone we can roster. But we know they're just using Hield, Pajemski, Moody, Waters, Kuminga, Anderson. Like, they're all playing 15 to 20 minutes, and so it makes it really hard to know who to target on any given night. New York and Phoenix. Sorry, I'm just reading the questions while I go through, and we will get to the questions. New York and Phoenix, reasonably comfortable for the Knicks. They did have to extend themselves a bit. And that just means the starters play 36 to 40 minutes, which they did. Good game from Cat, 34 and 10 with a steal. Anunoby, 14 and 7 with two steals. Josh Hart, better here, 19, 11 and 6 with three steals. All the starters were pretty good here. And then, as we know, no real value off the bench, other than probably Cameron Payne at the moment. He's got some appeal because Miles McBride is out with, well, was an illness, is now a knee injury. For Phoenix, Nurkic was back. He had 14 and 12 with three steals and two blocks, so one of his better games. Ryan Dunn, again, this defensive guy who isn't getting defensive stats, makes him hard to hold. Royce O'Neal finally hit some shots, but didn't do a lot else. 17 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists and a steal. The minutes probably make him worth considering. But the upside we know is pretty limited. With Nurkic back, Plumlee played 4 minutes. Iguodaro played 14 minutes. They can both be dropped. And Grayson Allen only 1-3 in this one. I still think he's probably someone we look at streaming in. And then last game, I believe, Orlando and the Los Angeles Clippers. I'm pretty sure this was the last game. Clippers win 104-93. Never really in danger of losing this one. The Magic, as they do, they hung around, but they just came up short and never really pushed them too hard. Goga Badadze, only 20 minutes, 9 points, 2 rebounds, a steal and a block. It's not great, but he had been playing more than this. We do have Wendell Carter potentially back soon, though, and I think I saw... yes, here we go. This question from Hini Mini. Would you drop Rob Williams and Goga for Anthony Black and Wendell if he comes back tomorrow? It's hard with the Portland guys because we don't know about DeAndre Ayton. He could miss another 2 weeks here or he could be back in the next game. So in terms of dropping Rob Williams, I wouldn't want to do that until we get word that Ayton's back. Goga is probably a drop as soon as Wendell is back because I think Wendell just starts and Goga goes back to maybe not even playing. And Anthony Black, he was good in this one. He did have 17 points, 8 assists in 29 minutes. But injured his knee. It sort of looked like a knee, maybe an ankle late-ish in the game in the fourth quarter. He tried to play through it. They were sort of fell away in terms of competing, and so they got him out of there. But I would monitor the injury report. I don't think there's anything up yet that I've seen with Anthony Black, but it wouldn't surprise me if he's on the injury report because they do play tomorrow. And so I'd be hesitant to go and add him just in case this is a knee sprain or a bone bruise or something that ends up costing him a week or two. At the moment, I probably wouldn't drop those guys for Anthony Black and Wendell, but if we get word that Wendell is coming back, Goga for Wendell probably makes sense. Isaac, 22 minutes, 6 points, 3 rebounds, 3 blocks. 22 is just enough for him to be on your radar. Mo Wagner had 10 points. He will be a drop as well when Wendell Carter is back for the Clippers. Amir Coffey started with Norm Powell out. I assume this will be the plan going forward. And if so, Coffey is probably worth a look. He is a bit Powell-ish in that he gets points and not much else. But if he's going to start and play 30-plus minutes, he is someone to consider. Chris Dunn... 26 minutes is probably enough. Only one steal here, 7 points, 3 assists. So not his best night, but the minutes are encouraging, sort of. Kevin Porter, the fact he played was good. I didn't think he would. I thought he'd be in the concussion protocol after banging his head the other night. But 20 minutes, 10 points, 6 assists, 2 steals and a block. With no Norm Powell there, I don't know. Porter is someone to consider, I think, because we know that in sort of 24, 25 minutes, he can get you some points and assists. Terrence Mann, only 15 minutes, no reason to be holding him at all. And that's all the games. So let's stop sharing. Let's get to some questions. All right. Yes, potentially. So Cow Chad says, were the Cavs doing the whole we can beat you with one hand tied behind our back thing? Yeah, look, I think part of it is probably that. I mean, often these guys are injured, but they could play through it if it was a meaningful game, but they probably were aware that the Pelicans were already undermanned and then they were out without Brandon Ingram as well. So, yeah, I think it was a little bit of that. Who's the pickup if Zach Collins sits? Because I think Wemby is already ruled out, if I'm not wrong. It could be Charles Bassey. Ooh. And I have mentioned to keep an eye on Bassey. If Collins doesn't play tomorrow, I think it probably is Bassey. I don't know if they'd start him or whether they might start Mamu Kelishvili. I don't know who they play. Let me just have a look because we will go through the we'll talk about that one when we get to the box scores. Peyton is going to be fascinating because if he continues to do well, coming in out of nowhere? Do they give him a sustained role? I don't think so. I think this is really just a short-term thing. He was at training camp with them, so he was sort of on their radar. He's certainly fascinating. We know that if he can play minutes, he's a good fantasy player. But, I'm not sure I see that coming at this point. What is the sell high point on Heald, who is he is very much back to the Heald we know? Would you take a top 100 guy for him? Would I? What's he ranked now? So he's down to 72nd on the year after, what was he, top 20, top 30 for a stretch there. I think he probably settles in that top 100 range. So if he needs certain stats, like he'll be top 100, but he's really just points and threes and nothing else. So if you're looking for blocks or some steals or whatever, and you can get a top 100 guy that is a top 100 player for that reason, then maybe. Otherwise, I think I'd probably just stick with Heald, because I do think he's going to have patches where he is top 40 and then outside the top 100. I think I'd probably hold him. Okay, Barnes back. Yeah, potentially. Barnes is back. Do we need to throw out the rotation as we know it for streaming purposes? Yeah, let's have a look. So they obviously play tomorrow. They do. They play the Wolves tomorrow, so we'll get to that one. And speaking of on-court, oh, yes, my stat line from last night. We lost the game. It was, as I said, I knew one of the players on the team. I'd never played for this team. And I want to say I had five blocks because I always count my blocks, and I would say I probably had maybe 10 points, 12 maybe, and probably 15 rebounds. A lot of rebounds because I'm the tallest there. So, double-double with a few blocks. So not too bad for my first game. All right, let's get to the games for tomorrow. Detroit, only four, so fairly light slate tomorrow. Detroit and Charlotte. For Detroit, Asar Thompson is doubtful. So maybe it's all about conditioning for him at this point. So if you've got him in your IR spot, I certainly wouldn't be activating him at least for a week, because I think it's going to take him quite a while to get back up to speed. But really good that he is close, and if he's available, I would probably go and pick him up and throw him straight into your IR spot while you still can. It is a four-game day, as I said, so there is going to be some streaming value tomorrow. Isaiah Stewart would be someone to consider, especially as the Hornets don't really have a traditional center. So Jalen Duren may only play 20 minutes, 22 minutes, where Isaiah Stewart might play 25 to 27. So he would be someone I'd look at. Malik Beasley, if he's available. Tim Hardaway, you could take a flyer on him. He does have those good games, much like Beasley, from time to time, and against Charlotte would be the time to do it. For the Hornets, Miles Bridges is probable with his knee injury that he came back from maybe too soon. I don't know. Trey Mann, also probable. This is sort of, a favourable game for both teams. So LaMelo coming off his worst game of the year, maybe he has a big one tomorrow. Grant Williams, where we're rostering him. Diabate, if you added him, this is a favourable schedule, not playing today, playing tomorrow. So I probably would have just held him, and I have held him in a couple of spots. We'll see how he goes tomorrow. Next game, Minnesota and Toronto. Mike Conley is questionable with a toe sprain. DiVincenzo is questionable with back spasms. If they both miss time, Alexander Walker would need to be picked up. If one of them misses, I'd probably still be picking up Alexander Walker tomorrow. For the Raptors, yeah, look, Scotty Barnes questionable. Alinek's still a little while away. Brown is close. Quickly is, I think I saw he's out till maybe mid-December. Was that what I saw? I think that was – I saw something this morning early that he might be out till mid-December. So we're looking at another 3 weeks, potentially four quickly. So, yeah, look, once these guys come back, we're going to – guys like Agbaji, I think Grady Dix should be a hold. Mitchell will certainly not be a hold. Agbaji will be borderline. But I wouldn't go dropping them straight away. Like if Barnes comes back tomorrow, I wouldn't just go, okay, well, Agbaji's done, I'm going to drop him. I would hold him for tomorrow and just see how many minutes he plays and what their starting lineup looks like. Do they keep Davion Mitchell at the point guard, or do they play Scotty Barnes as more of a point forward and get the ball in his hands? Because RJ Barrett has been very good assist-wise as well. So there's a few ways they could go here. Utah play the Spurs for the Jazz. Jordan Clarkson is questionable with his plantar fasciitis. This is he missed 2 games, I believe, earlier in the season because of that injury. And these things do hang around, as we know. Walker Kessler out again with his hip injury. So we're just rolling with John Collins. Filipowski, even tomorrow, I know he hasn't been great, but when you're going to have empty roster spots, if you can stream, he's going to start. Isaiah Collier, maybe. The minutes aren't super encouraging. 20 a night is probably not quite enough, but maybe he lucks into 24 or 25 tomorrow. And for the Spurs, yeah, Zach Collins is questionable with knee tendonitis. We have Wembanyama already ruled out, Devin Vassell ruled out. So if Collins is out, it would be Bassey that I would go and grab. I guess Harrison Barnes is going to have to do a bit more, potentially. But I still don't want to – I don't know if I can say you have to go and grab him. But so I won't say it, but I have sort of said it. Steph Castle as well on a low-volume day, if you need some assists, could be worth a look. Keldon Johnson, 4 points. Then we have the last game, Orlando and the Lakers, the Magic coming off the back-to-back. As I said, Anthony Black, just keep an eye on the injury report tomorrow to see if he is there for his knee. I think it was a knee. He was flexing his knee, so I'm assuming it was. If he is out, it's yuck. Cole Anthony maybe comes back into the rotation. I don't know what they'll do there, to be honest. And Wendell Carter, questionable. So, again, if he's back, I wouldn't just go and drop Dadze because Carter might come off the bench and only play 18 minutes. He is also dealing with plantar fasciitis, and I just said that's an injury that hangs around. It doesn't go away. So, they might be extra cautious with him as well for the Lakers. Dalton Connect has probably been picked up in most leagues now, I would assume. Rui Hachimura is questionable. Are we holding Hachimura? Probably not. Go and add Connect if he's there. I'm not interested in Reddish. D'Angelo Russell, I've said he is borderline, but again, a 4-game day, hold him for the schedule and see what we get out of him. And look, I mean, against an Orlando team coming off a back-to-back, shorthanded, maybe the Lakers blow this one out and we get a good D'Angelo Russell game. But Orlando are a noted strong defensive team. So, yeah, not convinced there, but we'll see. And that's it. That's all the games from tonight. That's all the games for tomorrow. Friday, yes, there will be a show tomorrow. It'll be a shorter one with only 4 games, but then it probably means there's a lot of games on Friday. It's a Friday my time. So on Friday, there's probably quite a few games to talk through. I will be back tomorrow. I will be doing a live, I think, I'm pretty sure it's live. A live show with Josh in the morning, my time, 6:30, which is 2:30 p.m. Eastern, I think. We'll be doing our mailbag show. And for anyone interested, it's looking as though on Saturday my time at about 11 o'clock in the morning, which is 7 p.m. Eastern, Friday night, I'm going to be doing a live show hosting a redraft. Sounds weird. We're going to be doing a mock, industry mock draft redrafting. So we're basically as if we were starting a league right now. We're going to do a draft. And just to get an idea, because we get questions about players' value, like where would you take Halliburton now? Is he a top 20? Is he top 50? Who would go number one? Is it Jokic clearly? So I just thought, let's do a draft. So we're going to do a draft. I've got 12 analysts. I'll be hosting it. I'll do a live show, probably go for about an hour, talking about giving my feedback on who's being drafted where. Where does Dyson Daniels go? Does he go top 30? Does he go top 50? So I think it'll be fun. I think it'll answer a lot of questions in terms of player value or perceived player value. And then I think a few of the guys will probably talk about it on their various shows and in articles and things like that. So it should be good. But that will do for today's show. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'm Adam King. This has been the post-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.